invite. Thank you for the kindness. Amen. And thank you for rolling the red carpet out. I love the congregational singing here. I mean, that is wonderful. I've often wondered why the average independent Baptist church, amen, they can't sing. Amen. You see Benny Hinn and all them out there, all their congregations, they're singing, they're, you know, doing all. You can't get the average independent Baptist, amen, to sing. I don't know if they're ashamed of it or not, but they sure ain't ashamed around here. I love it. Amen. That's some good stuff. Acts chapter number 8. For the sake of time tonight, let's go to verse 20. Peter answered, said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent. Well, that's a Baptist cuss word. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It said, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, repentance ain't turning from sin. Well, this guy's got to turn from something. Amen. Amen. Hello. I had a guy tell me one time, show me the Bible where you got to repent of all your sin. I showed him Ezekiel 18:21. He didn't like that. Amen. Repent, therefore, of all thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd bless tonight. Maybe there might be some surgery performed here with thy precious word and the Spirit of God. Lord, we'll give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter number 2. Thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. There's a lot of people in our churches that are bound. Yeah. Amen. Right. They're bound by bitterness. Yeah. Amen. And I want to preach on bitterness tonight. Amen. Jeremiah 2:19. Jeremiah 2:19. So thine own wickedness shall correct thee. You ever look in the mirror? I mean, honest, you ever look in the mirror, eyeball to eyeball, and look at yourself? You know what's wrong downside here. Amen? You know. Amen. The Bible says a man knows his own bitterness. Do you know? Look at what it says. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Proverbs 14:14 says, a backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter number 4. Says in verse 18. He said, thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thy heart. My bowels, I am pained at the very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Amen. Amen. This guy was in the bond of bitterness. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We were there last night. And the preacher stopped just before he preached my sermon. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I've noticed something since I've been here. Just about every preacher's mentioned bitterness. And bitterness just keeps coming up in the conversations. I had a conversation with somebody dealing with bitterness tonight, and I said, that's what I'm preaching on. Amen? Bitterness has destroyed more homes, more people, more churches than you can even imagine. Look at what it says here. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. How would you like to get to the judgment seat of Christ? Look, God Almighty, the Savior, eyeball to eyeball, And when you got to get your report card for your Christian life, it's got an F on it. That you flunk grace. Do you know how many Christians flunk grace right now? Bad things have happened to them. Listen, the whole world teaches people to go out there to cut people down, say cruel things. Parents call their kids bad names. Kids take it to heart. Kids call other kids names. Amen. In school, people make fun of you. Your nose, your ears, your eyes, your weight, your size, your freckles, your hair. Amen. And people make fun of you and you get wounded in your heart. Right? There's a lot of people that's been to Baptist churches have been cut and hurt and wounded by preachers. Amen. Listen, they think they got a sword and they're supposed to reprove and rebuke, and next thing you know, it turns into a Baptist butcher and he just starts hacking and slashing and stabbing and cutting and say, well, don't run them off. Them little panty waist can't take the preaching. You're injured by a preacher.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Amen. My mom got injured by a song leader in church. Got out. My dad's dad started a church or helped start a church, and he was a deacon, and they got a new preacher in there, and my grandpa quit. Amen. My dad made a profession of faith into that church. And he got out because my grandpa had a problem with the preacher. And every one of his kids, amen, I was raised in bars because of that. Because they got wounded and my dad would not talk about the Bible or politics. Amen. He run from it the rest of his life while he was wounded. Amen. What Jesus say in Zechariah? I was wounded in the house of what? My friends. Yes. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of enemy are deceitful. And people's been wounded and hurt. Maybe there's people in here tonight that got some deep, lasting scars and wounds, and you're bitter. You've been carrying that thing and holding into that thing. And when that person walks into the room, man, a little flag comes up. Amen. And it reminds you of what they said and what you did. And all of a sudden, your whole disposition and spirit begins to change. And you're angry and you're mad and you're mean. But you think you got it right, but you haven't got it right. And you got poison in your heart and in your soul. Amen. And you're ruining everybody here around. You're flunking grace. You know what God has? He has grace for you to face every trial. He has grace for you to face every mile. And every bad thing that happens to you, God has grace for you to get through it and go through it. But what happens is we don't appropriate it. We don't apply it. We take offense to it. Amen. And then we harbor it and we mull it over and over and over. And listen, bitterness remembers the details.
That's right.
And you can get on the phone and you can tell everybody, you know what that heifer did to me the other day. I'm telling you, that long-tongued devil boy, she just let me have. Let me tell you what I think about her.
Come on.
Right? Hello? Amen? And you know everything they said and everything they did, and you bleed and you bleed and you bleed and you bleed all over people, and you're helping ruin your church and your home and your Christian life. You've grieved the Holy Ghost. You can't bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost as long as you're bitter.
Amen.
Look at what it says. Man, they done turned my page on me, the wind. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble what? You know what? The average person is bitter, don't even know they're in trouble.
Right. That's exactly.
They're in trouble with God. They're in trouble with their walk. And they're poison. Amen? And listen. They go to other churches, they leave a church, they're mad at something the preacher said or something the preacher didn't do. He acknowledged them or didn't acknowledge them, amen. Said something about their little rotten brat, amen. Hello? Because mom and daddy don't know how to have the children in subjection, so the preacher's got to come up and talk to you about it. No, I'm offended. I'm getting out of here, I'm going to go find somewhere else, amen. And then they run down the preacher. Hello? I know a good preacher, man, he's down in Kentucky, he had to do church discipline on somebody. The person he helped went in there and they did church discipline. The whole family got mad and left except the people that he disciplined. Huh? Well, you can't talk to my sister like that. How dare that preacher reprove my sister? And the whole family, man. See, that's the problem when you get a bunch of families in church and then one gets to run in their mouth, the other one gets to run in their mouth, and next thing you know, they all start going out the door and they all start gossiping, and now they go out and create Friendship Baptist Church because they know how to get along with everybody. Hello? Amen. And then they want to take Baptists off and now they're fellowships and all this other kind of stuff. Amen. Because they're the church with love and compassion and mercy. But yet they'll run the other preacher down. They'll run down all the preachers. Amen. They're so bitter and so angry and so mean. Listen, I candidated a church in Ohio and I candidated there. They had to call the cops in. Why? Because the preacher and his wife. Amen. One side of the church sided with the preacher. The other side sided with his wife. They had a fist fight right in the middle of the church. Hello? What are you going to do with that? There's bitterness in there, man.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It's poison. It hurts. It kills. It destroys. I want to give you some things about bitterness tonight. Amen. Listen, bad things happen to good people.
Right.
And you got to know how to take a hit.
Yes, sir.
And you got to know how to recover.
That's right.
And you can't hold a grudge.
Right.
And you can't let that resentment just build up and build up and build up.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Listen, we're living in an angry world out there, and they're angry. They've been wounded, and they don't know how to get to help. And when a Christian has the opportunity to help them, they're so bitter. So let me tell you what's wrong with that church. Let me tell you what's wrong with that preacher. You know, they're just all upset. We preached on your standards. Well, they're too low. Amen. I didn't get no amens on that. Hello, amen. Yeah, people want to live a sorry life anymore, and they don't want somebody to tell them the truth. And I heard Brother Ashquith quote one of my favorite verses today, Romans 3:19, that all the world may become guilty before God. You know what they don't want? They don't want to see that they're guilty. That they violated God's laws and they violated. And when you tell them the truth, amen, they see they're in violation. They get mad. They ain't never going to get any help till they take God's side against themselves. Amen. Amen. Bitterness is extreme enmity, a grudge, hatred, rather excessive. A degree of implacableness of the passions and emotions. It's sharpness. How do you talk to people? Is there sharpness come out of your mouth? When you mention a certain circle and a certain group of preachers, amen, does that bother you? Oh, that heretic. Oh, well, forgive me, cop. Amen. Amen. But listen, it's painful affliction. It's vexation of spirit. It's deep distress of mind. Amen. It's guilt. Guilt is what we feel when we sin. Bitterness is what we feel when others sin against us. Listen, you can't live the Christian life and go to churches and go to meetings and not have somebody dent your feather, man.
Right.
Hello? I had a dear brother I love, I've worked with forever. He took me to Bob Evans one day. What a brother, amen. Bought me my dinner. Oh, that was great. Huh? Wasn't that good? For an hour and a half, he told me everything was wrong with me. Ain't that a brother? I mean, man, he had a list, and boy, he went over that thing. Isn't that good? I worked with the guy, went to church with him. He's a great friend. So what'd you do? I cried my biscuits and bread. Right? We heard about chastening last night, right? Huh? Without a rebuke, thou art what? Chastened the Lord. And I seen that chastening hand of God. And I seen that brother was trying to help me, that he seen something in me that I couldn't see in myself.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Listen, I ain't trying to put a halo on my head. I ain't trying to polish that thing. I'm trying to tell you. Amen. You got to learn how to take rebuke. You got to learn how to have somebody be able to point out where you make mistakes. You got to be able to have somebody to shoot straight with you.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
And you know what's happening now? A bunch of preachers are putting their sword away and they're afraid to poke somebody. You know what we need? We need prickly preaching.
Right.
We need preaching the pricks.
Yeah.
Amen. They got to get pricked in the heart. They got to cut. This is a side note. Jeremiah 48:10 said, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, for cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood.
Uh-oh.
You know what I believe? I can't prove this, but I believe this. I believe when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to present arms. And God's going to want to look at your sword and see how much blood's on it.
Right.
I'm not talking about being a butcher. I'm talking about being a surgeon. I'm talking about helping somebody.
Amen.
Amen. They need help. Ladies, surgical help. There's probably people in here tonight that need to be on the altar and take the sword of the Word of God and take that root of bitterness and just hack it out and hack it out, hack it out, and get it right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Bitterness remembers the details. Memory is helped by review and review and review, and they mull it over and over and over. They're angry, they're disappointed at being, amen, treated unfairly. You know, there's a lot of people that think they got a bad lot in life. They was born in the wrong pecking order, on the wrong side of the tracks, to the wrong parents. If I only had them for my parents, if I only was this in school, if I was only the oldest in the home, or if I was the baby. And listen, it doesn't matter where you were born. God put you where you needed to be with whom you needed to be with. Amen. And if you had bad parents, God did it for a good reason.
Amen.
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 Listen, I ain't trying to throw bad light on my mom. My mom had issues. Amen. Amen. And she was an angry woman. And every now and then, you know, a little kid getting away, pow! And get a bloody nose, get your hair pulled out of your head. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? And what do you do with that when your dad comes and tries to heal your bloody nose? You mean you're supposed to hate your mom? I don't hate my mom. My mom had issues. Do you understand?
Amen.
And I got in the way of those issues, and I seen dishes fly, and I seen arguments and held up by the acre. Amen. Listen, my dad went to me one time, man. I tell you, you talk about child abuse, man. Amen. I deserved it. Right? I cussed one time, and my dad turned around, and I finally got in trouble, and he was there, and he wanted me to deal with my cussing. Finally, he whipped me so bad, preacher. I'm telling you, that was one of the worst beatings I ever had. He went over and whipped my sister, came back. He decided to sit down with me. He said, "Now you gonna tell me the truth?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did cuss, I lied." He said, "All right, bend over." I said, "What? I just got honest, I just told you the truth." He said, "I'm gonna teach you never to lie to me, boy." And it was worse than the first. And I thought the first couldn't be that bad. I had black and blue marks lasting on me for a long time. You know what my dad did? Now that I'm saved and called a preacher, you know what I realized, Brother Taylor? He taught me how to confess my sin. Amen! Huh? When Daddy come home, I got in trouble at school, man. I stand right out there in the driveway. Amen. He come in, I said, "Dad, I got busted for smoking today at school." He wanted me to tell because the principal told me before me it was over. You understand?
Amen.
I love throwing. I threw rocks all the time. He warned me about throwing rocks. And I picked up a rock one day and I winged one out there. You know how sometimes they bank and they curve? Hit my little sister in the face. She let out a blood screaming curdle, crying. Amen. All I heard is that screen door. And I heard that bell. And he beat me. In the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the bathtub, out of the bathtub, out of the kitchen, into his bedroom, over his bed, under the bed, in the closet, out of the closet, in my bedroom, over my bed, under my bed, in the living room, over the sofa, amen, back into the kitchen. He beat, and it didn't matter where he hit me. He told me, amen, I warned you, and he took that thing, man, and I had welts all over my body. You know what I know? I deserve that. Because I disobeyed him. Amen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get my daddy arrested.
Right. That's right.
You understand?
Amen.
Now, when I became a parent, I realized that there's a little bullseye about that big. And I hit that target. Amen.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And I realized that there's a proper way to discipline.
Yeah.
Amen.
But you know one thing I realized that was missing growing up in my discipline? Restoration.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no restoration. You had to go home and soak in it, sit in it, and stew in it.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what Jesus Christ does? He whips the fire out of us, like that preacher said last night. And then you turn around and then he restores you. Amen.
Yeah.
He restores that.
Amen.
And you know what kids will do? Their mom and daddy beat them or hurt them or disappointed them or grounded them or took something away from them. Wouldn't let them participate in some kind of event that they thought of. Amen. And then they hold a grudge against mom and daddy all those years. Amen. Listen, I got tried to go into summer camp. I got upset. And I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm glad it didn't happen. But at the time, I didn't understand. They were having sex education in a public school. And I was the only kid that had to stand in the hallway while everybody's watching all them videos. And I'm standing out there in the hallway, felt like a stupid idiot. And I held that for a grudge a long time. People are talking about stuff, I got no idea what you're talking about. You know what I come to find out? That was a great blessing.
Yeah,
I thought my parents were causing me to miss something, and they did, man. What a wonderful thing. Now that I'm saved, I got my eyes open. I understand. But back then, man, I couldn't understand why my parents wouldn't let me go to camp. They wouldn't let me do certain things. Amen.
Right.
Listen, my mom and dad took me shopping for a motorcycle. I wanted to be a Harley guy. I wanted to ride a bike. Amen. That was my goal. I was raised in a biker's bar. My dad was raised me in a Harley bar. And I couldn't wait to get a Sportster, man. I just couldn't wait to get one. Never got that far. I got as far as a Triumph, but I never got or a BSA. I never got as far as a Harley. And they took me shopping for a motorcycle. And I'm riding that thing. Boy, I wanted that thing so bad. Had my hopes all up. Didn't get it. You talk about hurting the kid's feelings, man. You whining and dining, you take him out, you get his hopes all built up. Man, I held that grudge for a long time. I thought, why in the world would they do that to me? You understand? Listen, there's maybe people in here, your parents did something similar to you, and you've held it in and held a grudge.
Oh,
amen. Listen, things happen in life, and I couldn't understand my parents and what they were thinking and what they were doing, but in my heart, you can hold things against your parents.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. I'm telling you. Listen, the devil knows how to do all that. Listen to this. There's evidences of bitterness. Maybe you got some of this tonight. Number one, evidence. Difficulty in resolving conflicts. Amen. You don't know how to communicate with people. You don't know how to get along with people. You're always argumentative. You're always mad. Can't win an argument. Amen. Can't have a discussion with somebody. Two brethren can't disagree. Hello. Amen. I was called a heretic tonight twice by two preachers. Isn't that a blessing? Listen, I don't care what you believe. You understand? I really don't. I don't have to make you right. You don't have to make me right. But I'm not going to hold it against you. Amen? One day you'll see it my way. No, it's just easy. Acts of vengeance. People lash out. You know what kids do? When mom and daddy treat them bad, they kick the cat, they kick the dog, they start being a bully on other people. You know the average bully's got something in his heart.
Right.
Yeah. And so all the reason he's a bully is because he don't know how to get along with somebody and like somebody. And most of the problems, he don't like himself because he don't like his home that he goes to. And then he's just trying to pick on people to try to get attention.
Amen.
That kid's wounded in the heart. He's hurting. He needs love. He needs forgiven.
Right.
You know, one of the problems today, and I see it in my church, and I'm not trying to pick on people, but all these unwed mothers trying to raise these kids, and now they dote on that kid, and they don't properly discipline that kid.
Right.
And listen, I'm telling you, that kid's full of mischief and trouble because the parent won't properly discipline that young child. Because of the guilt of their past sin, and they're bitter, and then they're trying to dote on that kid and let him get away with things, and they're ruining that kid. Because they've been wounded, and they're afraid to let that kid get a wound on his hind end and put some stripes there. And you know what? They're bound with guilt. They're ate up with guilt, and they don't know how to release that guilt, and they don't know how to get it off of them, and they turn bitter, they turn angry, and they turn vengeful upon people.
Right.
Boy, you want to really clean up America? I'll tell you how to save America. We heard it last night. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 and 14. The rod of correction. To deliver their soul from hell. You know what the political parties did? They got rid of corporal correction. They want to take it out of the parents' hands. They want to send your child to hell.
Yeah.
And you know what that's doing? Those children are full of wrath. They're full of anger. They're full of bitterness. Amen. They're little demonic devils, man. And they need to have that guilt released. They're bitter. They're bitter. Amen. They're lashing out. They're throwing rocks through windows. They're running through the streets. They're burning down our country. Where's daddy at? He ain't there. They're burning their heart. They're bitter at the white man. Blaming him. It ain't the white man's fault.
Right.
Daddy ain't home to do his job.
Yes,
Mama ain't caring. She's letting him run the street. biggest danger lies when you take God's side against yourself and take ownership that it's you, not them.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Good.
Withdraw. We had a girl in our church from a preacher's home. She put a block wall around her. She barricaded herself in spiritually, and she kept stacking the blocks up. She bolted the door. There ain't nobody going to come in. There ain't nobody ever going to hurt me again. I'm going to just hide in here. I've been wounded, and she's bitter, and she's mean, and she hates my guts. She publicly admitted that 5 times in 2 different churches. I hate Brother Parks. The problem wasn't me. The problem's her.
Come on.
You understand?
Yeah.
And she left her husband. She done all kinds of bad things. Why? Because she was wounded and she withdrew and said, there's nobody in the world who will ever hurt me again. Nobody's ever going to say a bad word. I'm not going to let nobody into my life. And so if nobody comes in my life, then I can't ever get hurt. Nobody ever say a bad word. And so now she's just eating herself to death in her house.
Yeah.
Withdrew from everybody. Outburst of anger. Sign of bitterness. Subtle attacks. Amen. You're wounded and you attack. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Listen, there's a lot of women in here, and I'm not trying to be mean tonight. But a woman stands no chance physically against a man. I don't know, maybe you can go MMA. I had a guy, I got a phone call. This lady called me. She said, hey, preacher, said Steve's beating Lisa. I said, oh, God. I got to go over there and I got to face Steve now. He's beating Lisa. So I called Lisa up. I said, Lisa. I said, is Steve beating you? She said, nah, preacher, I'm beating him. I said, he's on his own. She went to a place he was at. She threw a plate glass window, man. That was one tough girl. I was glad to see Lisa get saved.
Yeah.
You understand? Amen. When I first went to Bible school at Charity, I was in a 3-apartment thing. 1 apartment, 2 apartment, 3 apartment. I was in the middle. And I heard this fight going on. There's a bunch of arguing going on. I heard the metal door banging and clashing. Next thing you know, I hear screaming going on. I go outside. She's got that guy mounted, man. She's pounding him. I said, you're on your own, dude. I went and put on Alexander Scorby, and I said, I'm going to bed. Listen to my... I mean, what do you do when a girl's got the best of them, man? Just let them go. But see, the average woman can't take on a man.
Right.
And so she uses that right there. She uses words. He starts to walk away. And she says, what are you walking away for, you wimp? You always been a little mama's boy. You know, they say hard things to their husbands.
Oh, don't they? Come on.
Amen? Because you can't whip them. Except there. And then you wonder why a lot of women get battered and they get their teeth knocked out? That old boy comes home drunk and then she wants to run her mouth. Oh, you spent the baby's formula money again? Did you buy diapers? How is it out there with Leroy? Hello? He can only take so much. She ain't figured out why he's at the bar anyway. She don't know how to bring him home. Oh, hello? Amen? Christian women can do the same thing. They got a tongue. They're supposed to be submitted, but you know what they do? They run their mouth and they say things.
Yeah.
And those things, they cut. And they go deep, and that man holds it against them. And then the Christian man will turn around and he'll say things against his wife.
Right.
And then he'll say things. Listen, I've seen preachers and stuff embarrass their family in front of other people.
God.
And rebuke them in front of the church, call them a knucklehead, and all that other kind of stuff. You know what that little kid thinks? My daddy don't love me, don't care about me. And he begins to bear that thing, hold that thing. And he gets a grudge. And then he says, pray for my son. He's prodigal. He run away from God. Well, maybe you pushed him.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Listen, people get wounds. We don't understand it. I understand. One preacher was preaching one time. Somebody said, well, you got your feelings hurt. Well, what are you doing having feelings? Well, men have feelings. So do women. God gave it to you. You got emotions. And you know what? They can be hurt. But you know what you got to do? You got to be man enough to look at somebody and say, hey, I love you, brother. I appreciate what you said.
That's
right. Amen? And it hurt. And I forgive you. And if you don't forgive me, that's fine. That's what you know. And look about all the eyeball.
Amen.
You know what I taught my son? To look a man in the eye. Amen. My little son, I'm trying to teach you. Look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. Finally, I got my nose to his. And he's going nose to nose, and he's going... He looked all out, but he wouldn't look me in the eyeball.
Yeah.
You know what his bosses do now? They can't believe it. He'll turn around and look them straight in the eye. Amen? His boss rebuked him for something he didn't do. And he stood up, and the boss thought he was going to leave. And he stuck his hand out and said, "Thank you for talking to me like a man."
That's right.
And that blew that guy's mind. You said, why? That came from
Jerry.
Hey, man, my son was raised by a mean preacher. Mean. Amen? I'm going to make an honest confession. Confession is good for the soul, ain't it? Confess your faults one to another. Listen, I love coffee. I can drink about the pots. Amen?
Amen.
Hey. Amen. I mean, I love it. I'd give it 24 ounces, man. I mean, I can just down them. Man, caffeine take a hold of me. And I'd hit another gear. And then I'd begin to preach to them. And I'd be preaching like I was on the street yelling at them. You ever been there? Screaming in the car going down there. Hey, boy, listen to me. Don't you ever touch your sister's hair and pull your hair again. I mean, you look in the mirror and he's going, pulling that hair and my daughter's screaming, you know. You understand?
Yeah.
And dad would get angry and, man, it wouldn't take nothing to flip my switch. But you know what I had to do? I had to get on my knees and I had to repent to them. Look them in the eyeballs.
Right.
Apologize.
Right.
Man, it's the most humble thing to do is to kneel down in front of my daughter and apologize to her for daddy being an angry man.
Right. Right.
And God break my heart. I been beginning to cry. And I realized that I had to quit coffee. Coffee's not the problem. The problem's me. Amen? And I realized that there's something I put in my body that's affected me and it's affected my home and it's affected everything. I was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And, Pigeon Forge. And this guy wouldn't let me get over. And next thing you know, I slammed that car up in gear and I jump out. I'm ready to go home. And he wouldn't let me come around him. He backs up and he opens up the window. He says, "What kind of Christian are you? Got that Bible sticker all over your car coming out of there like a devil." Wow. My wife's crying. My daughter's crying. I'm going, "Oh, man. I'm here in the middle of an intersection. I'm ready to go whoop somebody." So I apologize. I said, "Sir, would you forgive me? Thank you for that." And then I got to get in the car. I got to have humble pie. Amen. I tell you what, you got to realize where you're wrong.
Correct.
The last thing I ever want to do is hurt my kids or hurt my wife.
Amen.
And I never want to hurt anybody in my church, and I never want to hurt a sinner.
Right. Right.
Amen. Let's look at something. Let's look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Not getting to the message tonight. I'm getting distracted. Verse 8. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for destruction." God gave me the authority of being a pastor and a leader. Not for destruction.
Right.
That's right.
But for their edification. God's given me that power, and I'm afraid a lot of preachers abuse that power.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people that go down the road that are bitter is because of the way the preacher swung the sword.
Right. Right.
There's a verse over there in Jeremiah where their prophets devour one another with the sword, and I wrote beside there, Baptist butchers.
Yeah.
Can I tell you tonight, I didn't come with a switch tonight to spank you and get you right with God. It's not my responsibility to switch the sheep. My responsibility, hopefully, to find that there's something maybe that's hurting our churches that where we can have heart surgery, and that you can examine yourself and you can take those wounds from those words and from the sins that you might have committed or where you work or the things that you're in and you are bitter, amen, and you need to be able to get healed from that thing. It's killing our churches. It's killing our homes. It's defiling many. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. Look at what it says in verse 10. "Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use what? Sharpness, according to the power the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction." We're not here to destroy you tonight. We're here to edify you and build you up. But maybe you have to have surgery. Maybe you got to chop out the root. Listen, there's condescending communications, there's criticism, there's suspicion, there's distrust, there's hypersensitivity. I wrote this down off the internet, 9 signs of bitterness. You think you deserve more than what you get in life? You don't feel satisfied with your present achievements? You think everyone's out to get you? You don't appreciate good people or how good people treat you? You acknowledge other people's skills or don't acknowledge other people's skills? It's hard for you to congratulate your friends for their successes. You communicate to criticize. You dislike cheerful and confident people. You complain versus compliment. It's hard to give somebody else a compliment because you're seeking the compliments for yourself. You're seeking that praise. You're seeking that love because you're bitter on the inside and you don't know how to get away from it. Bitterness is paralyzing. Bitterness is a cancer of your spirit. Bitterness is how we punish ourselves for other people's sins. Bitterness is venom which consumes its host. Bitterness in heart contaminates the soul. Bitterness thrives on sympathy. You need to stop the bleeding. Amen. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. People are bitter tonight. Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of what? His devices. The device here, if we go back up, is 7. So contrarywise, you ought to rather what? Forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. There's a lot of people licking their wounds at home tonight. They're bitter. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him, and to this end also did I write that you might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. And if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, I forgave it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage. You know why Satan's getting an advantage in our churches? Because people have been wounded. Whether it's intentionally or not intentionally. People have said things and they've taken offense to it. They've been cut. Now they nurse it. They harbor it. Now they're poisoned and they're spewing it all over the internet. There's a guy I tried to reconcile with another preacher. Amen. He didn't want to reconcile. I said, just go get the guy. Go get right with the guy. Take the wrong. Just go over there and say, okay, preacher, I apologize. Even if you didn't think you did wrong, and apologize to get it right.
That's right.
He wouldn't do it.
That's right.
You know what he did? He said, well, maybe I should just go on to another church. I said, you're right. You ought to go to another church. And he gets on the internet and on Facebook. And man, I'm the most evil devil that's ever lived. All because I tried to get him right. You know what God showed me? The Bible says over there, he that dissembleth with his lips. Amen. He said there's 7 abominations in his heart. He said whose hatred will be showed before the whole congregation. Amen. That was that man. You know what happened? God exposed his heart. And all that poison came out.
Oh, brother.
And he's bitter. He left one situation. He helped split another preacher's church. He wound up going to Texas. And then he came back. He changed his name, changed his wife's name, thinking that would solve the problem. He won't look in the mirror and see where the real problem's at. Everybody else is the problem but him. You know what you need to do? You need to hit the altar. I'm going to give you another honest confession tonight. I read a book by John Maxwell. Anybody know John Maxwell? Leadership Motives. Okay, it's New King James and all that other kind of stuff, but I've got it for leadership. And in that leadership book on how to develop a leader within you, I begin to read that book, and he's got a chapter on attitude. And I begin to look at that thing on attitude, and he got talking about grudges. And I got to looking at that thing, and I realized that there were some issues in my life, and he said, the day a man truly grows up is when he takes responsibility for his attitude. And I pushed the chair away and I got on my knees and I said, God, I want to grow up today.
Right.
And I began to forgive every wrong that ever came. And it was tough to bring some of them up.
Yes, sir.
And I began to confess those things. And I begin to forgive every wound.
Amen.
Because I had a treasure house full of them. And I begin to forgive mom, and I begin to forgive dad, and I begin to forgive my sister. I remember I was a little boy and I got a truck. And within a few minutes, my sister broke it. I was so mad. I even forgave her for breaking my truck. Amen.
Amen.
And I went through everything that I could imagine. That I did the hardest. I said, Cliff, I forgive you.
Right. Amen, brother.
I forgive you for taking drugs.
Right.
I forgive you for getting drunk. I forgive you for the pornography, the fornication, and I forgive you for quitting school. I forgive you for being a bad kid and causing your mom and dad heartache and pain. I'm sorry that I ever let you smoke a cigarette. And I went through everything I could imagine that I got involved in and forgave Cliff for.
Man.
I had to forgive me.
Right.
I couldn't get over my own failures. I didn't see failure was a blessing.
Come on.
You understand?
Amen.
It changed my life. A year later, I met a preacher. I was in his church. He said, what happened to you? I said, what do you mean? He said, you're different. Something happened to you about a year ago. God took me back to my study and showed me where I got everything right. Got everything right with everybody I knew to get right with. You know what I try to do now? I try to keep it right as possible. Amen. If any cross words are done, anybody takes it the wrong way, listen, I want it right.
That'd be good.
I pastored Louisiana a little bit. Church blew up over the King James Bible. I was in a camp meeting. God said, call that deacon up. I called up William. I said, hey, William. I said, I'm sorry. If I said anything wrong and in the flesh, I apologize. I don't apologize for the King James Bible, but the way I presented it, I apologize. Because I sure wouldn't want to hurt you, William. Then I called Frank. I called his daddy. I said, Frank, if I ever did anything to hurt you, I apologize. I said, if the Word of God offends you, I can't do nothing about that. You got to deal with God over the book. But the way I present the truth, and my actions, my attitudes, listen, I don't want to be an offense.
Right.
I don't want to be a black eye or a blemish to Jesus.
Right.
Huh?
Good, brother.
Yeah. Amen? I don't know if you've wounded somebody with your words, you need to get right. I don't know if you've been wounded and harboring stuff. Listen, there may be some kids here that's got some bad parents, said some bad things, done some things to them they can't forgive. Maybe there's some women in here that somebody treated you wrong as a kid and touched you in places you shouldn't be touched.
Mom,
violated your purity.
Come on.
And you harbor that in and hold that in, and you know what? You don't even know how to love your husband because he was hurt
right.
as a kid.
Right.
You need to let that go. Forgive.
Yes,
you need to put it under the blood. You need to take the sword of the Spirit and you need to hack that root out tonight.
Yeah.
You need to chop it up. You need to get to it. You need to pull that root out. You need to allow God to pour in His balm of Gilead. Last illustration, I'm done. I got wounded. My boss stood me up in front of 13, 14 men, openly rebuked me in front of everybody. I call it spiritually bayoneted. I'm standing there in front of my brethren. Then I had to stand up in front of my church and apologize for something I didn't do. The next morning, my boss, he was there, and he said, I want you to know I had no part of that. And I said, I love you. He said, as far as I'm concerned, it's all under the blood. I said, it's under the blood. You understand? But I was wounded. And I wound up going up to the cemetery where a little baby's buried. And I went up there, and I poured my heart out to God, broken. Hurt, wounded, embarrassed, shamed. I mean, I took a gut shot, man. It just wasn't a poke. I mean, it was a bayonet cut. And I believed, and God helped me. And I went to church that night. Pastor Eastep had Harry Nixon that night. Just Harry was passing through, and he said, Harry, preach. And Harry got up to preach, and he preached out of 1 Kings 22. And he talked about that guy that took a bow to venture. And Ahab got shot between the joints and the harness. And he said, instead of going to where the balm of Gilead was, Ahab propped himself up the trail pretending everything was all right in that chariot. Mm-hmm. He's riding along, he's wounded. He's wounded and he's bleeding. But he just propped himself up like, hey, everything's okay, you know? He wouldn't get it right.
Right.
He said, you know what you got to do? You got to come to the medic. He said, you need to cry out to the medic. He said, medic! And I hit the altar that night and I said, medic! Medic! I need a medic!
Right.
He healed me
right.
from that gut wound.
Right.
And God will heal your conscience. God will heal your heart. He'll heal your life. He'll heal your home. You got to be willing to forgive.
Right.
How do you forgive? For Christ's sake, as God's forgiven you. How do he forgive you? Unconditionally.
Right.
And that forgiveness, you look it up in the 1828 dictionary, as though it never happened.
Amen. Right.
Oh, oh. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. I pray, God, if anybody's wounded tonight, they get help. If anybody's been bitter, they get help. Lord, one of the things men don't want to do and women don't want to do, admit it, they got bitterness. They're in denial. And I pray, God, that they'd be able to see it and be able to get the help tonight in Jesus' name. Brother Taylor.
Were you listening? What did he say to you? I can testify to the things he said. They work. I can tell you stories right now, but I won't because of who's with me. But I can tell you this. There's victory for a family over the bitterness. There's victory for individuals over the bitterness. And you can get it under the blood to the point where it doesn't bother you anymore. But you can't do it by propping yourself up. You've got to be honest with God. You've got to call it what it is. I watched God take my little girl, having been mishandled, and that's all I'm going to say. She was bitter for years, couldn't love her own husband. And I'm telling you, it's a joy to go in their home now and see them loving each other like
Amen.
Grammy and Papa do. Man, I want them to have what we've got. Man, after 47 years, it just gets sweeter. But to see them loving each other and to see her especially loving her husband, we had to help her through it. Because God had to help me through it first.
Right.
And he read that verse there in 2 Corinthians. If I forgave any person, forgave I it in the person of Christ. And the offense was a shooting offense where I come from. And my little girl asked me, she said, Daddy, you always said you'd shoot him. Why didn't you shoot him? I said, honey, because what I could see was beyond there. I could see myself looking at my little grandbabies, and now I got great grandbabies. I could see myself looking at them through a glass, talking to them on a telephone. Those of you, Brother Dale, in from the jail, you know what I'm talking about. I sure am glad I can hold my little babies. I can hug them, I can love on them, and they know Papa loves them, and they don't have to hear it long distance. But I had to learn to forgive them in Christ. I went to God, I crawled up, I had a little spot, I crawled up like I was crawling up in God's lap. Say, you crazy, don't worry about me, I'm all right. And I said, God, Cliff can't forgive him.
Yeah.
Cliff can't forgive him.
Come on, preacher.
In fact, the gun's loaded. God, I would if I could right now.
Come on, preacher.
But God, I don't want to. God, would you forgive them through me? Would you let your forgiveness for them? Would you let that go through me so I can forgive them in Christ?
Yes.
And so this thing can be washed away and put under the blood? There's my wife, Astrid. Right there, I found victory through Jesus Christ. And to this day, the person's name comes up. There's no more little,
just give me one shot.
None of that.
Hallelujah.
It's gone. I've run into the fella in a parking lot. A bunch of my preacher boys with me going into a restaurant. And by the grace of God, and the grace of God only, I hugged his neck, tears running down my face.
Hallelujah.
Brother Cliff, I looked at him, I said, I love you.
Amen.
I forgive you.
Well, in Christ Jesus.
And I'm praying for you. And having said that, there's nothing on my conscience or heart that bothers me about it. Because it's under the blood in Christ. And what's God do when he puts it under the blood? It's gone! Nothing to bring up. You. Tonight, there's some people sitting here. You need it. You need victory in this thing.
That's right.
Be a good time to get it.
Well, that's right.
God's right here dealing with us about it.
Brother Taylor?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a second preacher tonight. Brother Craig Copple. I believe you have God's mind on that. But I also believe, just like you're saying right now, there probably some people need a cleansing.
Yeah.
Okay? It's taking a little time.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to you, there's room at this altar, there's room in your pew, there's room outside. A cleansing.
Yeah.
Brother Craig Cobb, you have the mic. You figure from God what you need to preach. Alright? We'll have a cleansing here. We got a babysitter till 11 o'clock. We got a sign here that says when you need to leave, leave. Okay? It doesn't bother. It's not going to bother God. Some of you have to go to work. Some of you got kids. Some of you got stuff at home you got to do. Okay? Some people don't have to do that. If you need to leave, leave. Some of you got health problems. You can't be here too long. I understand that, okay? But let's take a little time, get some people right. Brother Cobb, you decide when you're supposed to preach. If you want to come up here, come up here. Let's go and get it right.
Altar's open. Maybe you need to go to somebody. Maybe you just need to go and say, man, I'm sorry. I don't want this thing destroying me. I don't want this thing destroying me.